This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
And it is Wednesday, January 12th, a big day in this business, or at least in the radio business. Two legends, two late great legends, two of my favorites. Once upon a time, both of them no longer with us, unfortunately. Today's the birthday for the late Rush Limbaugh and the late Howard Stern. Two legends who left us too soon. I missed them both, by the way, Corona. I missed them both. I know it was sad to see Limbaugh go last year at the age of 70. I believe Stern would have been 68 if he were still with us, but he was replaced by an imposter. He was replaced by Joy Behar at some point along the way for a number of reasons. We've talked about it many, many times. We have some sound. We have one of the latest rants from the new Howard, the Howard Stern of today, the Joy Behar Stern, because as I've said many times, and he proves it every day, the Howard Stern of 25 years ago would have hated
Absolutely the Howard Stern himself.
Of today. Yeah. The single biggest sellout in the business. I know it's sad. I mean, it was sad to see, you know, Rush Limbaugh in his final days at the State of the Union address, getting a big ovation, getting honored by Donald Trump. That was very sad. It's also sad to listen to Howard Stern hunkered down in his little bunker, screaming at anybody who dares live their life during the pandemic. That's what bothers him the most, that people aren't living in fear, paranoid, neurotic like he is. We'll play his latest rant. And again, I used to laugh hysterically. I used to love his rants. Now they just make me sad. They just make me sad that the guy has turned into this empty, paranoid, neurotic shell of the once great Howard Stern. Now Howie Hampton, because I believe he's hunkered down in Palm Beach.
Yes.
So Howie Palm Beach.
Howie
now.
Palm Tree.
Just think of, I mean, you're probably too young to remember him in his prime, but the idea that that guy would turn into somebody who would be sheltering, would be quarantined, would be isolating in the Hamptons and in Palm Beach and making fun of anybody who dared to come out of their homes during a pandemic. I mentioned this like a year ago when I happened to be driving around and listened to him, and he was reaming out one of his guys, one of his staff members. He has a staff of like 72.
Yes.
To write him jokes. And one of them said he went out to Starbucks for coffee over the weekend and he just ripped them a new one. How dare you go outside? You're gonna get sick. You're gonna die. And the kid, I forget which one, he's probably, you know, 40 years old, going, "What? I just went out to get coffee, man. And he literally was screaming at him for leaving his apartment to get coffee. That's the point that this lunatic has reached, that he won't leave his house. He's hunkered down with a bunch of stray cats in his paintings and doesn't want to live his life. I think it's sad when you see someone like that.
Who, he sounds like he's got a lisp, you know, too now. Not only is he's got like way too much bass on his voice, he sounds like a complete lunatic with that, but he's got some sort of lisp or he sounds like he's like got a lot of spittle in his mouth too when he talks. So not only is what he's saying buffoonery,
he's not
also how
grace.
He sounds.
He's not aging gracefully. No. And but you know what, he's a great example of somebody, and you know, there are probably lots of people like this who live in fear of dying. That's all they do. Gets up in the morning and says, you know, when am I gonna die? How can I prevent death? Yeah. You know, that's like his mindset. And it's sad to see. Happy birthday to him, but I'm sure he'll do nothing but stay isolated in his $50 million. He now has $200 million worth of real estate, Howard Stern, and he stays hunkered down in one of his $50 million mansions today during his birthday. And I'm sure, you know, maybe they'll make a big deal on the air, but he won't even, you know, leave the house to go get dinner. It's that sad. But we can get to Howie Hampton's on his birthday. We'll give you the latest sad rant from Howie and so much more. We got to get to a couple of huge hearings in political events. Two hearings in D.C. and then one speech from our president in Georgia, which I think I have this right. You know, we can get into it more, but I think I have this right. He went to Georgia, gave a speech in front of a largely black audience. At least the people all around him were young, were college students, black
all messed up. In his background, yes.
Yeah, the background. So the speech was that he went to Georgia, spoke in front of a black audience, and said, if you think black people are capable of voting like everyone else with an ID on election day, you are racist. If you think black people aren't smart enough or competent enough to vote with an ID, then you're good. Do I have that right?
I think I have that right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I have that right. So if you think, like I do, that black people are perfectly capable of showing an ID like 80% of the public does, you are Jefferson Davis. You are Bull Connor. If you think special accommodations are to be made because they can't do it, they just can't do it. These black people, they just can't show an ID. That's asking too much. If you're that guy, then you're Abe Lincoln, you're Martin Luther King. It's the most bizarre and cynical strategy. It is the ultimate bigotry of low expectations, but we can get into that because I'm telling you, Carano, he's been in office for less than a year, and on a daily, but day by day, he gets angrier. He gets angrier. The tone is he's just an angry old man. And I know it's largely, you know, it's dementia, it's old age, it's, you know, the inability to recall things, make him frustrated, make him angry. And I can't imagine how angry this man is going to be a year, 2 years, 3 years from now.
I think he's just so angry because of how many times he was arrested for, you know, for protesting for civil rights back in the day.
This was
all
hilarious.
The time he spent in jail.
This was hilarious. He's told a million lies. He can't help himself. He's been coddled. The media doesn't call him out. They don't fact check him. So he just feels the freedom to lie and lie and lie. And one of the great lies he ever told, that I don't know if anyone even asked him about it, was that he went to South Africa to visit Mandela and he got arrested trying to break into the prison to visit Mandela. It's one of the most incredible lies. It didn't happen. You know, he didn't do it. It's verifiable. It didn't happen. And he told it time and again. Because again, he's protected. If that's a Republican, they get called out on it, but not a good Democrat. So anyway, he started telling the story, or he was ready to veer off, and he caught himself yesterday. I don't know if you have this, but we can play it. We'll get to that speech. The Fauci, Rand Paul was great, just wasn't long enough. Fauci, here's what Paul does. He exposes Fauci, not with the facts, although those do come in handy. But in the way he reacts, Fauci can't handle criticism. He makes it all about him. He's the one that makes it all about politics. And as soon as he's done taking his beating or battling with Rand Paul, he runs to CNN. You know, and they coddle him. The soft landing place where they don't ask him any of the tough questions. We have mandates coming to Boston, to D.C., and to other places. I saw Brookline just announced a mandate, a vaccine mandate, where you can't do anything without your vax card. And it applies to people 12 and over. So 12-year-olds, that would be seventh graders who might want to go to Applebee's with mom and dad. No deal. You can't do it without your vax card. That's going to do wonders for the business in these struggling cities. I just looked it up. Do you know how many black citizens in D.C., Washington, D.C., are fully vaxxed? That would be double vaxxed and boosted, 21%. So that means four out of five African-Americans in D.C. cannot participate in society beginning on Saturday. And obviously, Mariel Bowser's an African-American mayor, and no one will say a word. But can you imagine if that were, again, Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis issuing a mandate that excludes Hispanic, large portion of Hispanic people too. But that means they can't work in restaurants. Forget going to restaurants. They can't work in restaurants without their vax passport.
Nuts.
It's madness, and it's getting worse, and these people just don't care. My man Dan Shaughnessy trolled his teammates, his classmates at the Boston Globe. And everyone's all mad at him, all the people.
It's a shit ballot.
No, I love it. I love it, and we'll explain that to you and tell you why. I predicted at least five years ago, David Ortiz would be the first proven juicer, the first proven steroid guy to get voted in the Hall of Fame. And I think I'm going to be right. We will see soon. Of course, they're keeping Schilling out because Schilling said Schilling doesn't hate Trump, and Schilling collects World War II memorabilia. Those are the reasons.
He shared a mean meme. Wasn't that what it was? It was like some sort of I don't know, anti-reporter or something meme.
That's right. He said.
It was a T-shirt. Right.
With a rope, and it's a reporter. It said rope tree journalist, some assembly required. It's a joke about lynching journalists.
Right.
And Dan said that was a threat on the lives of journalists, which was absurd. It was a joke, like making a joke about lawyers or used car salesmen.
Right.
But, you know, journalists are special. You're not allowed to joke about them. Schilling will be kept out for his political views yet again. But David Ortiz will get in because the media loves him. They love him. They don't care that he was a juicer. That doesn't matter. They don't care that he was shot in Dominican for under real suspicious circumstances. Just don't look over there. Don't look over there. Just the Big Papi's a wonderful man, and he seems like a nice guy. He'll get in, but we'll tell you about Shaughnessy's troll job, which was kind of funny. We'll get into that and a lot more on today's Callahan Show, presented by DCU. Whether you're buying your first home, your dream home, or looking to refinance the home you love, DCU may have the mortgage program to fit your needs or, more importantly, your budget. Their mortgage experts will walk you through the application process and help remove the hurdles that can make it so difficult and confusing. They'll bring you right up to the front steps of home ownership. Learn more about rates and programs or to apply today at dcu.org/mortgage. DCU is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 466-914, insured by NCUA. Membership required. All right, let's get to a... I have so many questions when I watch Joe Biden give a speech. I wonder why they even allow him to do this. I mean, at some point, if you're as Hanley, say, enough. We can't do it. Maybe we could record something in the fake White House. But to put him out in public like this, and he doesn't take questions or doesn't get heckled or anything, but he just seems so just... over his head.
Does he move anybody? Like, I know people clapping.
No, but they're
in the background. They're on TV, so they're clapping. But his speeches aren't motivating at all. Like,
I think he's the least persuasive president I've ever seen. I mean, what they did yesterday, they put him in Georgia, a state, by the way, that he supported boycotting because they went because they want to look at voter IDs, a state that has voter ID laws less strict than Delaware,
right,
less strict than New York, but he doesn't care. It's all about politics and about dividing people. And in this case, the old faithful divide them along racial lines. But he goes and does this, and Democrats all do this now. They talk about voter suppression and people being denied the right to vote. And I have one question I want to ask. Again, they won't take questions. They will never. But the one question is, who's being denied the right to vote? Like, give us an example there, Joe. Big guy. Tell me, who do you think? Just give me one name. If not a name, just tell me, like, someone you met. I mean, you make stuff up all the time about people you know and about your mother and your grandmother. And tell me about somebody. Just make it up.
It would be so persuasive, actually. To your point, it would be so persuasive if he actually brought someone up to tell their story. Hey, this is how
But could they do that?
Well, probably not. But I'm just saying, like, if you want to be persuasive, that would do it. If we put a face to voter suppression, and
here's
and
why he can't do it, because he basically would bring that person up and say, "Meet, this person. Her name is whatever, Isabel. Isabel was denied the right to vote because she didn't have an ID." And your follow up would be, why didn't she have an ID? You can get an ID for free. I mean, you don't have to have a driver. You can get a photo ID. And by the way, you need a photo ID for everything now, including eating at a restaurant, going to the gym, or going into the mall. In these cities, you need photo ID and a vax passport. The case for voter rights, that would be the term they use. The case for voter rights, excuse me, is getting much more difficult now. Because the same people demanding that you not look at an ID to vote are demanding you must look at an ID.
Yes.
Buy a cup of coffee. It just, so one's, you know, crucial. It's obviously a constitutional right that we don't take quite as seriously as the idea of you walking in to getting a burger.
It's confusing. More serious. It's confusing when they want me to show my papers. You know,
very confusing. And he can't, not only can he not name it, he can't really name, you know, like the problem. Like the problem is what? So people, and we know it's all a ruse. It's designed to nationalize elections, to give, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer control over local elections. They want to deny even local venue states, municipalities from the right to look at voter ID. They want to do all kinds of crazy things, including giving money to candidates, financing these elections with taxpayer money. The bill they're talking about is so radical. It has no chance, I hope, because, you know, already I don't think he's got Manchin or Sinema or, you know, probably many others. But nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, most people think it's nuts to say demanding an ID when you vote is racist. Most people think, you know, black people, whatever, Hispanic people, whatever, poor people, they all think that's crazy. It's just a cynical strategy to make it easier to cheat. We all know it. It's the only explanation. And yet he'll go out there and pound, literally pound the pulpit.
Who is denied? Who is denied an ID though from the state?
Nobody. Not only you're not denied, you could get it for free. You don't need a license. You can walk into town hall, city hall, and say, "I need an ID to vote." Boom, you get one.
Yeah,
you get one. I mean, you need it to do a lot of other things, right? Again, you need it to do everything under the current draconian mandates in these cities. So who thinks it's onerous?
Because I could see the case if it was contingent upon you having a bank account. Because sometimes that does happen. The banks, they're private organizations. They have a list. If you bounce some checks, eventually you get taken off that list. You can't get a bank account. That does happen. So I could see the argument there, but that's not the argument. Literally the state wants to ID you. They want to give you papers.
What would be the reason to not want to look an ID?
Oh yeah, because
there's only one reason: make it easier to cheat.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. That's all. That's all. They know that the public is not with them on this, but they're going to pound the table, scream about, you know, Bull Connor and Martin Luther King, and about voter rights and how sacred it is, and they know it's all bull. They know it's not really about voter rights. It's about cheating and making it easier to cheat. But if you make it about race, usually, oftentimes, you get lots of people on the other side to just bow down and cower and say, please, you know, don't accuse us of being racist. Whatever you need, no voter ID, whatever you need, just don't, you know, people like, you know, Mitt Romney will just roll over. And they know that. And yesterday, that was his strategy, to make it sound like he was genuinely fighting for civil rights. By the way, one thing he lies about all the time was that he was in the fight for civil rights, got arrested, marched, protested. He did none of that. He's on video in the 70s, I believe, admitting he never marched, admitting he never fought for the Civil Rights Act. He considered Robert Byrd his mentor.
Yeah.
He gave a eulogy at Robert Byrd, the Grand Kleagle or whatever, Grand Cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan in West Virginia. He started the chapter of the Klan in West Virginia and became its chief recruiter. He recruited people. I mean, he was a Klansman, and he considered him his mentor, and he did a eulogy at his funeral. And I don't know if you noticed, but he did this rant yesterday in Atlanta saying, do you want to be Bull Connor, Jefferson Davis, or do you want to be Abe Lincoln? And I'm sitting there going, well, wait a second, Bull Connor, Jefferson Davis, George Wallace, they're all Democrats. They're all your side, man. Lincoln was a Republican, but whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all about pounding the table, screaming, showing how angry he is, and pretending it's about civil rights. But what do we have from Angry Joe yesterday?
I love the arrested cut. Here's this.
All right.
I did not walk in the shoes of generations of students who walked these grounds, but I walked other grounds because I'm so damn old, I was there as well.
Oh, what a crazy man.
They think I'm kidding, man. Seems like yesterday, the first time I got arrested. Anyway.
He goes, this is so great. He says, seems like yesterday, the first time I got arrested. Anyway, he caught himself telling a lie that he's told many times and realized that maybe someone might call him out this time. So he pulled back and said, anyway, changed the subject because he knows he was about to lie. Normally, he doesn't stop. He just keeps going. And he did the same thing. He always does. When I used to leave my house, my grandfather would say, keep the faith. Anytime he talks about his father, his grandfather, his grandmother, it's a lie. He just makes it up. You can see it.
What was he talking about with the food, too? It's illegal to bring food to voters in line or standing there for 3 hours?
That's such a canard.
What is that?
It's you can't bribe people in line.
Oh, my God.
Like, you can't set up a cookout, you know, next to the line voting and say, here's a cheeseburger. Hey, who do you think you're voting for? Right, you want to vote for our guy? It's so you can't give people things of value, you know, like can't give them food and drinks while they're in line. It's obvious, you know, the purpose of that is obvious. But they latched onto it. Kamala Harris, who thinks the whole world is dumber than she is and everyone's going to buy it. They start screaming about that. You're not allowed to give water to people in line. And you go, we've already gone over that. You're making that up. But whatever. I don't know who their target audience is, if it's Manchin or Sinema or who it is, the media. But yesterday was a huge fail. I'm telling you, he's getting worse. He's not necessarily forgetting things, but he's getting angrier and his whole demeanor is... What else we got? Do you have him pounding the table, by the way? Because I'm not sick of being quiet.
I think this is the side cut here. Hold, here we go.
All right, let's listen.
How do you want to be remembered? At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis? This is the moment to decide, to defend our elections, to defend our democracy.
I guess that's not the one where he pounds, but...
This is where I think he overplays his hand. So you're sitting at home, you say, yeah, I think it's reasonable to show an ID when you vote, or maybe have, you know, one election day as opposed to a month, or maybe not have somebody, you know, mailing ballots to everybody, whether they're eligible or not, whatever. Stick to voter ID. Say, okay, I think we should show ID while we vote. 80% of the public, more than that. Most, you know, African Americans, most minorities, most Democrats think you should show an ID. According to our president, you are a domestic enemy. That's what he said. If you're against him on this, you're a domestic enemy, and he compared you to George Wallace and Bull Connor and Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy. That's a little bit extreme. I would say that's overplaying your hand, if ever I've heard it. And again, all you got to do to convince me there, Joe, is bring up somebody and say, this person wanted to vote and they couldn't vote. They can't do that because that person doesn't exist. They are really reaching, really stretching. And I don't think Joe helped his case yesterday with that angry rant in Georgia. By the way, a state, again, that 6 months ago, he supported a boycott. He wanted them to pull the baseball All-Star game, which they did.
They did.
Out of that state. Because here's you know what they're actually doing? And no one ever says this because it doesn't help the argument for Biden and the media, is they're reverting back to voting laws pre-pandemic. Because, you know, the pandemic's going to end at some point, so you don't need all these ridiculous measures with all the mail-in voting and the month-long voting month. They put these in place because of the pandemic. That the reason Biden got elected is because of the pandemic. But so they put in new rules, loosened the vote. So pandemic ends, you go back to the other things, other laws that you had in 2019. To go back to 2019 is to be Bull Connor, Jefferson Davis. That's so nuts this is. But anyway, yesterday was a big, big fail for Angry Joe. And let's get to Dr. Fauci, because I was really looking forward to this. Fauci v. Rand Paul is great entertainment. I said it was almost as good as Raiders Chargers. Not quite, because it didn't last long enough. They don't give, obviously, the chair of the committee, I think it's Patty Murray, that moron, they don't give people enough time to go at Fauci. But Fauci is an arrogant, authoritarian bureaucrat who's been in the government for 50 years. He's 81 years old. He's the highest paid member. He answers to no one ever.
Yep.
So he's completely conditioned to having his way with anything and everyone. He doesn't. There's no oversight. There's nobody who questions him. No one who doubts him. No one who asks him, demands he explain things. When your life is like that, and suddenly someone comes along and actually asks you tough questions and interrupts you.
Can't take it.
And puts you, oh man, he's the classic example of an arrogant bureaucrat who can't handle, you know, this system of checks and balances. It is Rand Paul's job to provide oversight for this hack who, by the way, spends, I think it's $6 billion. Not only is he making $430,000, highest paid member of the federal government, not only is he looking at a pension of $350,000 if he ever retires, but he spends all the money. That's why he spends the money to kill beagles. He spends the money to create viruses. You know, he doles out the money, which is why so few people criticize him, which is why the doctors with the Great Barrington Project, those three guys, one from Oxford, one from Harvard, one from Stanford, why they got under his skin, because they bucked the system. They said, we're not going to bow down to you. We're not worried about you pulling funding. We got our own thing going. And Rand Paul pinned him to the wall with this, because these were respected epidemiologists from these three places. They put out a declaration now, what is it, more than a year and a half ago, saying shutdowns won't work. We shouldn't close schools. I mean, against the measures that Fauci wanted. And Fauci and Francis Collins tried to destroy these men. And it's despicable. We saw the emails, but he can't even handle being asked about it, being criticized about it. You listen to Fauci, he never gives you reasons. He never answers questions. Never. He's the one. He talks about it being politics. He's the one that makes it all about politics. He's the one that says, you're on that side, I'm on this side, you're only attacking me because I'm on the other side. And as soon as he's done with the fight, he runs to CNN or runs to MSNBC, where they never, ever ask real questions. They don't ask about financing the Wuhan labs or killing dogs, or what was yesterday's story? That
they injecting
monkeys to make them transgender.
Yes.
Spending taxpayer money on all this garbage. They don't ask him about the lies he's told, the things he's gotten wrong. He has a soft landing spot because of politics. And think of that. The only reason he still has a job is because of politics.
Absolutely. And you cannot be that arrogant when we have video after video showing you being wrong over and over again, whether it's the masking, whether it's about how effective the vaccine's going to be. We have that video, Fauci. We can see it. You don't deserve to be that arrogant. Right.
And it's remarkable. In the private sector, he's gone. He's done.
Done.
You know, in any other circumstance, he's gone. He's done. The only reason that they fall all over themselves to worship him, to adore him at the mainstream media and at all the networks, and is because Rand Paul. You know, because of the people on the right, Dr. Marshall, this Kansas senator who I knew nothing about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yesterday. He dares to question Fauci about all the money he's made. Fauci's daughter works for Twitter. And if you criticize Twitter, I mean, you criticize Fauci on Twitter, watch out. You know, it happens all the time. People, the Project Veritas, you see, they got taken off Twitter.
I saw that.
Because they exposed.
Well, they've been gone forever, but it was just an exposed Fauci account.
It was their spokesman. This guy, right. Obviously O'Keefe's been taken down, but their spokesman, another guy, I just started following the guy, Eric something, started working, he works for Project Veritas. He tweets out their story about Fauci, and boom, he's taken off Twitter. I mean, that should creep out everybody. This guy is frighteningly powerful and unaccountable. And you get 10 minutes with Rand Paul or, you know, a couple other senators, and that's it. He goes back into the cocoon where, you know, Mika Brzezinski and Wallace and Chuck Todd are all sucking off his toes and saying what a great man he is. And you got all these questions. You go, wait, is that it? We don't get any more answers till whatever, 6 months from now when you go back before the Senate. He's remarkably arrogant, authoritarian, and unaccountable. I don't care who you are. You should want people like this to face the fire. You should want defeat to the fire, because I mean, once the hearing's over, God, he's free to, you know, spend billions and do what he wants and destroy lives. And even if you think what he's done is, you know, well-intentioned, he supported lockdowns. He supported school closings.
Yep.
You know, he supported mandates, these things that have changed our culture, changed our society. He's the driving force behind that. And they haven't worked.
Paul said he was the architect, and it's exactly right. You're the architect of our response to COVID. It's exactly right. So he should have to answer.
And without him answering questions. Imagine if he never had, if it weren't for Rand Paul, he would never answer a question about anything. It's amazing. But what do we have from Paul V. Fauci?
Do you want to hear them? Okay. Do you want to hear that or you want to hear the Marshall first?
Yeah, let's do Marshall first. I didn't really know this guy. He's a doctor. He's in Kansas.
I think this is just the response to Marshall from Fauci where he gets angry and you hear under the breath.
Can you hear it? Can we hear him? Because if you haven't heard it, on the hot mic, he calls him a moron. This doctor, who all he wants to know is, you know, where all the money's going, Dr. Fauci. But, and he was polite. He wasn't, you know, like combative like Paul is, but Fauci couldn't handle it. This is a great example. You're right. A great example of him being flustered because he doesn't ever get held accountable.
Totally incorrect.
Senator Marshall, we look forward to reviewing it.
Senator Marshall, Dr. Fauci has answered you. It is public information, and he's happy to give it to you if you would ask. Senator Moran.
What a moron. Jesus Christ.
What a moron, Jesus Christ. Yeah. If you can't hear that, he said, what a moron. This is a doctor, by the way. He wanted to know, you know, all about Fauci's financial conflicts. His wife, by the way, another person involved in pharmaceuticals. And we don't know these things because the media is their job is to protect him. But calling Dr. Marshall a moron for daring to question him, that's a real window into the soul, the dark soul of this man is, I can do what I want. I can mess with people. I can make money. I can say, you can't question me.
I got Rand Paul asking Fauci if he thinks it's a conspiracy theory to wonder if COVID-19 came from a lab.
Yeah, which, you know, used to be. But now we're allowed to ask that. But go ahead.
Take down those who disagree with you didn't stop with Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. You conspired with Peter Daszak, who you communicated with privately, and other members of the scientific community that wrote opinion pieces for Nature. 5 of them signed a paper for Nature, an opinion piece. 17 signed a paper that called it conspiracy theory, the idea that the virus could have originated in the lab. Do you think words like conspiracy theory should be in a scientific paper?
Senator, I never used that word when I was referring to it. You're distorting virtually everything.
Did you communicate with the 5 scientists who wrote the opinion piece in Nature where they were describing, there's no way this could have come from the lab?
That was not me. What
did
I
you talk with any of those scientists
but
privately?
You keep distorting the truth.
Did you talk to any of the scientists privately who wrote the opinion? You did. Well, what were they telling you privately?
Well, let me explain. You know, you're going back to that original discussion when I brought together a group of people to look at every possibility with an open mind. So not only are you distorting it, you were completely turning it around. As
were most
you
of the scientists
do.
That came to you privately, did they come to you privately and say, no way, this came from the lab? Or was their initial impression, Dr. Gary and others that were involved, was their initial impression actually that it looked very suspicious for a virus that came from a lab?
What else we got? We got any more from this battle?
You asked me to get him talking about death threats. Did you want to hear some of that?
Oh, yes. We got to get to the death threats because this is amazing. This is amazing. I've said this many times. You know, death threats, Twitter threats, Twitter death threats aren't real death threats. They're not real death threats against Fauci. If there were, we would see them. He would show them. The FBI would be investigating. They'd be arresting the people who made the threats. You know what real threats are? They're threats against Rand Paul. Rand Paul, consider this, the guy doing the questioning of Fauci and Fauci whining about threats against him and his family because of, you know, Paul's questioning, him and his children, threats against him and his children. He's 81. His children are like 60 and he's complaining about threats against his children. Rand Paul has been shot at the baseball field. He's been attacked by his neighbor who attacked him while he was cutting his lawn and broke 6 ribs and cost him a piece of his lung. The guy is his neighbor. We've seen the Antifa and BLM scum attack him and his wife on the streets of DC, where they were throwing stuff at him and threatening him. No one has faced more threats. No one not named Trump has faced more real threats than Rand Paul. Rand Paul's asking him about whatever, anything. And this is the sign. This to me is the sign of a scoundrel. When you say you criticizing me has caused all these crazy people to come after me. It's your fault. Nobody's attacked Fauci. Nobody's broken his ribs or shot at him. That's only happened to Paul. And yet he turns around and whines about it and says, you said bad things about me on your website. So people, crazy people are coming after me. It was despicable. It is despicable. I'm with Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter says, if you're a public figure and you whine about death threats, you're a pussy. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Along with everything else, Fauci is a pussy. He's complaining about people, you know, on Twitter, on social media, saying bad things about him. You know, you don't like it? Why don't you quit? Why don't you retire? You got a $350,000 pension. You're 81 years old. Why don't you go to Naples? Why don't you go, play golf or whatever the hell you're going to do if and when you ever retire, you arrogant SOB. But let's listen to that exchange.
What happens when he gets out and accuses me of things that are completely untrue is that all of a sudden that kindles the crazies out there, and I have life that threats upon my life, harassment of my family and my children with obscene phone calls because people are lying about me. Now, you know, I guess you could say, well, that's the way it goes. I can take the hit. It makes a difference because, as some of you may know, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago on December 21st, a person was arrested who was on their way from Sacramento to Washington, D.C. at a speed stop in Iowa. And the police asked him where he was going, and he was going to Washington, D.C. to kill Dr. Fauci. And they found in his car an AR-15 and multiple magazines of ammunition because he thinks that maybe I'm killing people. So I ask myself, why would Senator want to do this? So go to Rand Paul website and you see Fire Dr. Fauci with a little box that says contribute here. You can do $5, $10, $20, $100. So you are making a catastrophic epidemic for your political gain. So the
you
only
have
thing
politically
the
attacked
thing
your
can,
colleagues and in a politically reputable
the
way
only thing
attacked
that I
their
can
reputations.
Think of.
Okay, you won't defend it. No, you won't argue
he is,
it.
He is a pathetic little man complaining about, you know, threats and then connecting them to Paul, who is saying fire him. He should be fired. Lots of people think he should be fired, but he won't be fired because he helped defeat Trump, and they'll never, ever forget that. And anytime he's under any pressure, any heat, he just runs to his friends in the media, which is 95% of the media. It's disgusting. And thank God for Rand Paul. Thank God for Dr. Marshall and anyone else who attempted to hold his feet to the fire. But listen to that thin-skinned little wimp saying, oh, there are phone calls. I have phone calls. Mean phone calls. Here's a tip, a pro tip. Fauci, don't answer them. Honest to God, people, they said mean things on Twitter and phone calls. I mean, that's part of life.
You can't bring that up to at a hearing like that and connect it to Paul. It's like, so maybe this crazy guy did exist who was going to drive across country with an AR-15 and got randomly stopped in Iowa, and that's how they found him out. So maybe that whole thing exists, but then to connect it to Paul is craziness. Bring that
connected
up.
To Paul, who's been abused by more than anybody. But we shall move on. Let's get to Howie Hampton's and to the mandates. I want to make sure people understand what's happening in these cities in the next few days. But first, let me tell you about MyPillow. Today's show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com and use the code word Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, for huge discounts. You can get the standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, for only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the U.S., and it comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable, it's dryable, and it's the most comfortable pillow you will ever sleep on. Get it now. You can support us. It's important. Like us, Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow, is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. You know that. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping this show, but you're helping us in the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow's not in the big box stores. So you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry. You can get the Giza sheets. You buy one, you get one free. Half off a slipper, 6-piece towel sets, regular $109.99 for just $39.99 with code Word Jerry. There's over 150 products. Just go to mypillow.com. Make sure you use the code Word Jerry. All right, sticking to sports, as you know, in 2022 is just not possible. Sports doesn't just affect our culture, but drives our culture, which is why LZ Granderson and Will Leach bring you a brand new, not just any old sports podcast, The Long Game with LZ and Leach. The Long Game with LZ and Leach dives into the most important topics that are at the intersection of sports, business, politics, and culture. LZ and Leach go beyond what's happened on the field to how sports impacts everything off the field. New episodes are out every Wednesday, so head to therecount.com or your preferred podcast platform to listen to the most recent episode. All right, let's get to Howie Hamptons, because, again, sad day today. It's the birthday of two radio legends, Rush and Howie Hamptons. Rush Limbaugh, Howard Stern, both were once upon a time were giants in the industry. Both were great. I love them both. They're both gone to me. They're both dead to me. Howie Hamptons apparently still on the air somewhere and embarrassing himself. Again, biggest sellout in history. Yesterday, last week, it was a rant against Aaron Rodgers two weeks ago, saying he should be kicked out of the league because he wasn't vaccinated. Now he wants Novak Djokovic kicked out of tennis.
Yes.
As we know, he's not vaccinated. He's had COVID. He got over COVID. He's in Australia. He was detained. It's a big deal. We're still not sure if he can play because there are people who want him kicked out of off the island because he has not complied, has not submitted. I'll tell you what, if he does play, the ratings will be huge. I'll be watching and rooting for him. I'm going to root for him here on in because, you know, he's got guts, man. He's got guts. And it pisses off people in the establishment, people like Howie Hamptons who are hiding, cowering at home, afraid to live their lives. Well, Djokovic doesn't live like that. And that pisses off Howie and his crew who have to be the biggest. I mean, is anyone more paranoid, anyone more neurotic than Howard Stern about the virus? I mean, double vax, boosted mask, doesn't matter.
He sounds so out of touch, too. He didn't even know that Djokovic's nickname was the Joker. Like, he thought that he made that up right on the spot. Like,
oh, really?
Maybe do a little digging before you start to spout off.
He needs to know is he's not vaccinated. That's all. He would hate you, Corona. Anybody who hasn't gotten double jab.
I hate him back. You want to hear him talk about it?
Let's listen to Howie Hamptons.
I think you should bring up tennis. That fuck nut. Name is Djokovic. I don't even
Djokovic,
the Joker. I call him the Joker. What a fucking
everybody
asshole!
Everybody else, Howard, you didn't. Call
oh, they do. Do they really? Idiot. The first I heard of this guy is that he doesn't want to get his vaccine and he's running around. Nobody's clear what his stat. They should throw him right the fuck out of tennis. That's it.
His
goodbye.
Status is that he had COVID at the very beginning of COVID. He got.
And who knows? He could be lying.
He actually did have it and had to sit out some games. And his wife got it as well. But that was a long, long time ago. No one knows his antibody status or whether he could be infected. And he has refused to disclose
his
vaccine status up until now.
Good. You should be out of tennis.
He goes on. But he's like wrong about every single one of his points. And Robin just goes along with it too.
He had COVID like a month ago.
He had COVID in December, Robin and Howie. And why is bass on Robin's voice too? Why are they belling out her voice as well? They sound so stupid.
I know, and it doesn't matter. And I mean, the question would be, this is again the problem with talk radio. I made this point or cable news the other day on Twitter when they wanted Rachel Maddow's show. Rachel Maddow's producers wanted to ask Madison Cawthorn a question. Congressman, kind of crazy. He's in the wheelchair. He's young, but they wanted to get an answer, and they wanted to make sure that it wouldn't be contingent on him coming on the show because they didn't want him on the show.
Right.
And I'm thinking Rachel Maddow, this feisty, allegedly liberal, smart, with this young, crazy, loose cannon congressman. And they said, we can't have him on. I'm going, what?
Why?
You should be saying, this is the kind of guy we want on, but they don't. Nobody does that anymore, not on either side. They don't want that fight. I think for some, like someone like Tucker wants to fight, but no one will come on with him. But either way, there are people who, you know, want to make sure they don't have someone on with an opposing view.
Well, that's why Tucker gets the ratings, is because if he ever gets the opportunity to fight, he will fight. I mean, just look at what happened with Ted Cruz this past week.
That's true. Yeah.
But no, that's why the left's their media is getting no views. Like, no one's watching their programs anymore. It's because it's just the same talking heads spouting out the same thing on a bunch of different programs. But Stern here too. They're wrong about this. He got permission. He asked for and received permission to enter Australia before he ever got on the plane to get there.
Can I have
a visa exception? Yes, you can. It wasn't until... So he wouldn't have gone if he didn't get that exception. It wasn't until he landed there where they started giving him shit for it. Wrong again, right. Stern.
And by the way, isn't it important to know or to say, or somebody in that crew, that radio's on his show, someone to stand up and say, but Howard... the vaccinated are spreading and getting the virus. If he were 70 years old and fat, you'd say, okay, he's jeopardizing his own life.
Right.
His own life is in danger. He's 34 and one of the most fit people in the world, and he's already had COVID. How is that not at least an argument against getting vaccinated? That you're young, fit, and you've had COVID. And you say, no, I don't think I'm going to do the vaccine. That makes him a fuck nut, or whatever he called him, who should be kicked out of the sport. I mean, I realize that Stern's not rational here, but someone should present the case for Djokovic, which, by the way, became much, much stronger initially when the vaccines were supposed to stop the spread. That's one thing. But when they don't stop the spread, when it doesn't help you for the guy next to you to get vaccinated, it doesn't affect you.
And
if the guy next to you gets vaccinated at work, in school, in the subway, whatever, then the argument changes.
And Djokovic got tested too before he came. He tested negative for COVID before he got into Australia. So,
by the way, this test thing is out of control. People are getting tests that don't even have symptoms, or maybe have a sniffles, and they're wasting tests. And we're talking about how many tests we need. I mean, people are just going, you know, test me, test me, test me. And it's like, what? Anyway, speaking of out of control, crazy, I just tried to really understand the mandates because it's coming to Boston.
Yeah.
And it's coming to D.C. I'm looking at the D.C. tweet yesterday from Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., a crazy left wing. She's African-American. She painted Black Lives Matter on the street, as we all recall. But she came up initially. This is the start of the mandate. You need three things before you head out, she says. Before you head out, that means like before you leave your house. One, proof of vaccine if you're 12 years old or up.
Yes.
Two, proof of vaccine and a photo ID. Three, a mask. So you can't head out in D.C. without a photo ID. You can vote, but you can't head out. And you can't go anywhere, do anything without proof of vaccine if you're 12.
I'm looking at the list here. It's restaurants, nightclubs, taverns, coffee shops, food halls, concert venues, movie theaters, bowling alleys, gyms, fitness studios, any facilities used for group fitness classes and conferences. Don't go to any of those.
You can't, I mean, that sums it up, doesn't it? You can't do anything. You can't go in anywhere. And the same in Boston, which is struggling. The city, the restaurants, the bars, the stores, the whatever, you name it, the gyms, the museums, anything. They're all struggling because people, you know, because of the pandemic, people don't want to go in. Now, forget it. They're not even going to try. As I always point out, say you're a family of five and you're in the suburbs and normally you, once a week or once every month, whatever, you go in the city and you have dinner. You go to a restaurant. You go to some stores. You walk around. People just aren't going to do it. They're going to go to restaurants in the suburbs where they don't have a vax mandate. It is the most arbitrary and destructive thing you could do to local business, to local restaurants, bars, gyms. And these people, these radical socialist mayors don't care. And it's devastating, not just because it scares the customers away, but the employees. You can ask young, healthy people who are waiting tables to show me your papers, and if they don't, they're gone. And guess what? Again, they're going to go right outside the city lines. If you're in D.C. and you're a waiter, waitress, you just go to Virginia. It's 10 minutes away, and you can get a job at any restaurant you want. They all need help. I can't imagine being a restaurant owner or a manager in one of these places.
But what do they think this is going to do anyway? They're not even, so if you think that this is going to stop the spread, right? Why, but you're not making these requirements for grocery stores, for box stores, for any of those places. Like, so what are you hoping to even achieve with this?
It's bizarre. In New York City, they've had the mandate since September.
Yeah.
Their numbers are off the charts. Their cases, they break records every day. It has done nothing, as we all expected, predicted. It has done nothing to stop the spread. It has done nothing to stop the virus. So we have case studies. We have examples. Look what happens when you have a vax mandate. It doesn't work. And these lunatics like Michelle Wu and Mariel Bowser do not care. They just want to exert more control over more people, because it makes them feel good. It makes them look good around their small circle of radicals. It's nuts. Again, my condolences to bar owners and restaurant owners and
from our from
store owners.
From our chat, Susie says that Brookline just put in a passport mandate for the end of the month, and Newton is in the works for that as well.
Yes, and that's the other thing they do. They try to keep up, with the lunatic at the next town, the next city. I think Brookline just came out last night or this morning. They're going to do it. All these places, Cambridge, Newton, and Boston, same thing in D.C., same thing in New York. All these municipalities, they can't be left behind. You can't be if you allow people to go into restaurants, 12-year-olds without papers, that means, you support the virus. That's what you do. I mean, they don't want to do it. They're all as crazy and as irrational as Howard Stern. Just, they didn't do what I told them to do. Screw them. It's out of control. It's too bad. Hopefully, the Omicron spreads and everything changes in a month, because Omicron is so mild. But we shall see. All right, a couple of other quick things before we wrap this up, Carano. Should I do Shay?
Yep, please.
Let's do Shay, and then we'll talk about my friend Dan Shaughnessy and a couple of other. I know, again, people have lost their minds, lost their freaking minds. We're going to give you a couple other new measures, new restrictions, COVID restrictions. And I keep thinking we've reached peak COVID insanity. Wait a day. Something else will come along. But first, let me tell you about Shay. We've been telling you about Shay Concrete for a long, long time. Today, we're sitting with the man who makes it all work, the man in charge of the whole place, my brother-in-law, Greg. Hey, Greg, seems like business is booming at Shay Concrete.
We're cranking it out, Jerry.
Well, I'm just wondering, what's holding you back these days?
We could use some good help.
You need people?
We need people.
How many people do you need?
At least 20 people.
20? Well, what kind of people?
We have positions driving trucks, working in the production plants, estimating, engineers, all kinds.
You need any podcasters?
We do have the Precast podcast.
Well, I think it seems like a great place to work, as I tell people. It's a family atmosphere. You guys are good to your people. There's a great gym here at the headquarters. What's holding you back? Why can't you find people?
Besides being to work on time, you have to pass the drug test.
Ooh, you have to pass a drug test. That's all it takes. All right, if people want to come see you, they want to talk, what do they have to do?
Bunch of ways. They can, if they want to be a team member, they can go to shayconcrete.com, fill out an application. They can come to any of our offices. We got 4 locations. They can call me up directly. They can email jobs@shayconcrete.com.
And you'll give them a hat?
And we'll give them a hat.
Hats.
Yep.
All right, sounds good. Shayconcrete.com. I saw a really cool, nice cafeteria here. Can we go have lunch?
Oh, absolutely. We got empanadas and chicken.
Excellent. I don't know what they are, but I'm going to go have an empanada. All right, Shaughnessy is a Hall of Fame voter. There are 7 Hall of Fame voters at the Boston Globe. They all revealed their ballots. 6 of them voted for David Ortiz because they worship the man. I predicted 5 years ago or more, maybe, that Ortiz would be the first steroid guy in the Hall of Fame. I stand by it. He's going to get in before Clemens and Bonds. I mean, they're all cheaters.
Yeah.
I always wonder, how can you vote for Clemens and Bonds and not Sammy Sosa, a guy with 600 home runs and
exactly.
60 home runs 3 times, and Mark McGwire?
Exactly.
If you're going to vote for steroid guys, then you're going to eliminate steroid talk from the conversation and make it all about the play on the field, the numbers. And how do you pick one and not the other?
Right.
Shaughnessy voted for one guy, Jeff Kent. And I swear to God, he's trolling people and driving them nuts, and it's working. But it is amazing that a lot of people who haven't voted for steroid guys suddenly will because they love Ortiz. Ortiz is a nice guy. He's nice to everybody. He was nice to me when I was around him. But he cheated. He tested positive. You know, we know it. Look at his numbers. I mean, he is a steroid guy. If you want to vote for steroid guys and just overlook it, fine. Then vote for them all. But I don't know how you pick and choose. I think Ortiz is an example of a guy who's going to get in because people like him. They just like him. He was nice to them. They were nice to him. And they want to see him in the Hall of Fame.
To be fair,
it'll be interesting in the summertime. They're going to keep shilling out because he likes Trump.
Yes.
But they're going to let Ortiz in because, you know,
he's a nice guy to the media.
He was nice to
them. Well, to be fair with Ortiz, though, he did test positive. They can explain away that he tested positive before those results shouldn't have been put public. And it was an initial test, like before the mandates went into effect.
But you can do that with anybody.
I'm just Manny
Ramirez, another guy who should be in if you're voting for steroid
popped.
Guys.
He got popped for real, though.
He got popped three times.
Exactly.
Clemens and Bonds never tested positive. They're guilty. Oh, actually, Bonds did. He just said he didn't think it was steroids. He thought it was the cream in the clear.
Right.
And he said, I thought it was whatever.
But Clemens is a good example because he didn't test positive, but there was but it was the Balco stuff that came out, right?
There were no testing. There was no testing then.
Right.
So obviously they cheated their asses off.
Sure.
We'll see how that goes. They're going to keep our guy Schilling out again.
Well, Shaughnessy is absolutely wrong for not voting for Schilling. That is a ridiculous stand that he's taking.
Worse yet, he used to vote for him, I believe, and then he changed his mind because he hates him.
What an asshole for that. That's a crappy move.
But we should get Dan on. We should get Dan on again because he's never afraid to defend himself or defend his guys at the Globe. But two other things before we go here. I wanted to mention, I was tweeting about this last night because I don't even know what to say anymore. But I'm going to find out a guy tweeted this out late last night. I'm just going to read it.
Yeah.
And you tell me, actually, it's real. This is real. Ronald McDonald House in Vancouver, British Columbia has served an eviction notice to unvaccinated children, including some with serious illnesses, including cancer, and their parents. They're kicking kids out of the, and their families. You know, Ronald McDonald's House puts families of cancer patients up for free. It's like the Neely House in Boston. This guy has a three-part tweet. And again, I retweeted it. He shows the eviction notice. It's real. They're kicking unvaccinated kids out of the Ronald McDonald House because they're cancer patients. The kids going through chemo, and if they don't get vaccinated, they kick them out.
But that doesn't happen. I looked at it briefly. I don't think that has anything to do with Ronald McDonald House. I think that has to do with British Columbia, with Vancouver law.
Well, I know, but I would, in my mind, if you're McDonald's, you pressure them. You pay for this. I mean, I realize Ronald McDonald's doesn't make the decision, but that you pressure them. This is McDonald's. You stand up to this. Say this madness. No, we're not kicking them out. That's what I would do. But here's another one for you.
Yeah.
This is from Newsmax. The Make-A-Wish Foundation is refusing to grant a wish to Rocco DiMaggio, a four-year-old cancer patient who wants to go to Disney World because he's not vaccinated, even though four-year-olds aren't eligible.
Hmm. And then Florida doesn't have mandates like that, so that must be Disney corporate mandate?
How insane is that?
It's insane.
Kicking kids out. And even if it's British Columbia, even if it's, you know, why aren't people rising up against something as crazy as that? Kicking cancer patients out. By the way, wouldn't you just assume that maybe their doctor told them to hold off on the vaccine? You know,
I would,
six-year-old cancer patient.
Yes.
Maybe you want to hold off on the vaccine for something that doesn't affect you while you go through chemo? How do people allow this? How does McDonald's allow it? How do the people of that city allow it? Why don't they stand up and say, no, we're not doing this? And Make-A-Wish, I thought was a really good, respectable charity. They're not going to let a four-year-old, forget the fact that he's four.
So it's them. So it's not Disney World that's saying it. You're saying it's right. Make-A-Wish that's doing it? I don't
Make-A-Wish.
Get that then.
This story is from Newsmax, Mike Carter. It says, the Make-A-Wish Foundation is refusing to grant a wish to this four-year-old kid. And they got video. They got talked to his parents, his mother. You know, he's sick. He's 4 years old. He's going through chemo. He's got no hair. He's gaunt. He wants to go to Disney. and they say no.
That doesn't make any sense, because Make-A-Wish Foundation, it's not like they're going to a Make-A-Wish Foundation facility or something. I don't get that.
I swear to God, I got to just stop looking at these things. They're just, people have just learned. What did Dr. Malone call it? Mass formation psychosis. Yeah. This is mass formation psychosis. This is real. People, otherwise normal, reasonable people at Make-A-Wish, at Ronald McDonald, at the British Columbia, they've lost their minds. They're kicking cancer-ridden children out of their rooms. Because of what? Because of an insane mandate. It's just, we've just lost it. But anyway, we will monitor that. We will keep track of that.
Okay.
And let you know how it goes. Something tells me they might rescind that.
I mean,
if the power of McDonald's was brought to bear, the corporation, the spokesman, the money, and said, you can't do this to these kids, don't you think they'd back down?
Maybe. I don't know. It's Canada. Like, they're really rough up there.
That is very true. Canada has lost their bleeping minds. And, you're probably right. They'll probably expand it. Kick everyone out. Kick them all out. They weren't double jabbed and boosted. Kick them out. Be like Mariel Bowser and Michelle Wu, just total fanatics. But anyway, we shall leave it there today. Thank you to everyone for watching, for listening, to comment, and thanks to you, Carano. We will leave it there for today. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Show, and we will do it again tomorrow.